ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 18, entitled Diti Vows to Kill King Indra. Text number 63. Tam uchu patyamanaste. Tam uchu patyamanaste. Sarva pranjalayo nripa. Sarve pranjalayo nripa. Kimna indra jigham sashi. Kimna indra jigham sashi. Mrataro marutastava. Mrataro marutastava. Tam uchu patyamanaste. Sarva pranjalayo nripa. Kimna indra jigham sasi. Brataro marutastava. Anyone chant? Tam uchu patyamanaste. Sarve pranjalayo nripa. Indra jagam sasi. Brataro. Tastava. Sasi Daro Marutastava. Tam uchu patyamanaste. Sarve pranjalayo nripa. Kimna indra jigam sasi. Brataro marutastava. Word to word translation. Tam. To him, Uchu said, Patyamanaha, being aggrieved, they, Sarve, all, Pranjalayoha, with folded hands, Nripa, O king, Kim, why, Na, as, Indra, O Indra, Jiham Sasi, do you want to kill? Bratraha, brothers, Marutaha, Maruts, Tava, your. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. O King, being very much aggrieved, they pleaded to Indra with folded hands, saying, Dear Indra, we are the Maruts, your brothers. Why are you trying to kill us? So we'll continue reading the verses, no purpose, so Text 64. When Indra saw that actually they were his devoted followers, he said to them, "If you are all my brothers, you have nothing more to fear from me." Text 65. Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, you were burned by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama, but when Lord Krishna entered the womb of your mother, you were saved. Similarly, although the one embryo was cut into 49 pieces by the thunderbolt of Indra, they were all saved by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Text 66-67. If one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, even once, he receives the benefit of being promoted to the spiritual world and possessing the same bodily features as Vishnu. Diti worshipped Lord Vishnu for almost 1 year, adhering to a great vow. Because of such strength in spiritual life, the 49 Maruts were born. How then is it possible that the Maruts, although born from the womb of Diti, became equal to the demigods by the mercy of the Supreme Lord? Text 68. Because of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Diti was completely purified. When she got up from bed, she saw her 49 sons along with Indra. These 49 sons were all as brilliant as fire and were in friendship with Indra, and therefore she was very pleased. 69. Therefore, Diti said to Indra, "My dear son, I adhered to this difficult vow just to get a son to kill you 12 Adityas." Text 70. "I prayed for only one son, but now I see that there are 49. How has this happened? My dear son Indra, if you know, please tell me the truth. Do not try to speak lies." Text 71. Indra replied, "My dear mother, because I was grossly blinded by selfish interests, I lost sight of religion. When I understood that you were observing a great vow in spiritual life, I wanted to find some fault in you. When I found such a fault, I entered your womb and cut the embryo to pieces." Purport. When Diti, Indra's aunt, explained to Indra without reservation what she had wanted to do, Indra explained his intentions to her. Thus both of them, instead of being enemies, freely spoke the truth. This is the qualification that results from contact with Vishnu. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, Yashyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarve Gunastatra Samasa Suraha. If one develops a devotional attitude and becomes purified by worshipping the Supreme Lord, all the good qualities are certainly manifested in his body. Because of being touched by the worship of Vishnu, both Diti and Indra were purified. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Sha. E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Rishabhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Krupa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Welcome all the devotees assembled here for Srimad Bhagavatam class. The blessings of Vaishnavas. I speak from my own purification. So here, we saw in the text 63, So Indra wanted to kill the son, which is there in the womb of Diti. Indra, by his mystic potency. So if you see this whole pastime, Diti wanted something, so it appeared that she served the husband, and then she tricked him by getting the benediction, which was shocking to Kashyapa. But life is a circle. So Kashyapa also tricked Diti by giving some instruction which apparently purify one's heart, even though having some malicious desire. So we know from Bhagavad Gita, one may approach the Supreme Lord with many desires. Very rare that one approaches the Supreme Lord with pure intention to perform pure loving devotional service. Some mishra is there, karma mishra, jnana mishra, yoga mishra, bhakti. That performing bhakti, performing bhakti so that I can attain the result. Or performing bhakti so that I can get knowledge. So, when one is involving in the devotional service is potent. It destroys all the reactions. It brings auspiciousness to one's life. We are the characteristics of pure devotional service. Kleshagni, Subhada, Moksha Laguta Krit, Sudur Laba. Krishna Akarshani and Sandrananda Visheshatma. So it has its own effect actually. A child may not understand the effect or playing what the replication or the consequence of playing with fire. But fire does not discriminate. Whether you know, you don't know, or you are fully aware, or ignorant, it does create, damage, whether you know or not. So similarly, this devotional service is like the forest fire. It burns all the snakes, it burns all the seeds, it burns everything. Whether one is, it is said in sixth canto also that even if he's jokingly, laughingly, or even if he is making fun out of his, modes, nature, that he is making fun or he gets a benefit. In fact, in one time, in Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada write that devotees, when initially, or now also you see shaven head and they wear saffron robes and so people used to imitate, and then Prabhupada said, this is a good imitation because they get the benefit. They do a mockery of Hare Krishnas, but they get the benefit. One time, the disciple showed Prabhupada in the newspaper. Prabhupada, see this Hare Krishna, they're making a lot of false allegation against Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada was just seeing the newspaper. And then he was just looking, page after page. So then the devotee was seeing, this is so bad, we have to fight back or something. But Prabhupada was seeing, they mentioned Hare Krishna many times in the newspaper. So they get the benefit. So he was counting actually how many times they mentioned Hare Krishna. So this is probably the theme of the class also in the later part. But this is what, the devotional service has its effect. We can see here, Indra want to kill the Marut, and then by his Vajra, thunderbolt, he started to cut the body of one child into seven, and then seven soul entered. So it is said by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary. It is exactly like if you have a tree or if you have a plant, and then you break one twig of a plant and then you plant it down, then it grows, right? So similarly, the more he cuts the body, the more soul entered, and then it becomes 49. And they were saying, why you are attacking us? We are your brothers. So this is a blessing, a benediction of Kashyapa. He already mentioned that if you follow perfectly, then you will get a son who can kill Indra. If you miss the following the rules and regulation, then they will become the followers of Indra. That means they will become the demigods in one sense. So they were asking Indra, why you want to kill us? We are all your brothers, Maruts. So here Sukadeva Goswami brings out how the mercy of the Supreme Lord actually change or transform, even save one from the death. So he narrates that, Parikshit Maharaj, you were also saved in the womb by the Supreme Lord when Ashwatthama, launched his Brahmastra against you. You were saved. In fact, the word Parikshit is also means that one who is examining or one who is looking, where is that person which I saw in the womb. So here, the same Supreme Lord, by his mercy, so this is the point. And this is also the answer to the question which Parikshit Maharaj asked to Sukadeva Goswami. How did someone who is born in a demonic family, who is a son of Diti, they were become demigods? So it's a simple answer is, by the mercy of Supreme Personality of Godhead. How did that mercy happen? Because just by once one performed devotional service, he gets a liberation. There are five kinds of liberation: Sayujya, Salokya, Saristi, Sarupya and Samipya. One is merging with the Brahman, one is getting the same bodily features of the Supreme, one is residing in the same planet, in the same loka, one is becoming the associate, and then one becoming as the same form. So these are five. And then here it is said, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, just by worshipping once, one get the liberation where he became, the same bodily features, Sarupya. He'll be like same as Vishnu, just by worshipping once. But here Diti worshipped the Supreme Lord for 1 year. How good is that? Huh? So we always say, tell this classic example of Kamsa, who is always thinking of Krishna but not unfavorably, but he attained liberation. Then what to speak of devotee who want to perform favorable devotional service? How good fortune is that? One is want to perform devotional service favorably to Krishna. Even if he's doing unfavorable, very inimical or critical mindset, one is performing devotional service, maybe he wanted something out of it. Say, for example, here we see the case of Diti. She is performing the rules and regulation not for achieving the supreme goal. Even Ajamil called out the name of Narayan not to get the love of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the Vishnu not to get love of Godhead. They had some material desire. We have Gajendra Moksha. He called out to get relief from the distress. So one may approach a Supreme Lord with a motivated, not unmotivated, with a motivated desire that I want something from you, Lord. I want wealth. I want some money. I want some distress, relief from distress. Here Diti is saying, I want to kill a person. Can you help me? So irrespective of what motivated one is coming into the arena of bhakti or devotional service, it is so potent that it transforms everyone's heart. So that is the benefit of worshipping Lord Sri Krishna, because that purifying factor or the purifying agent is given by the Lord to the worshippers, even though they may not aware. The Lord says, why would I give this? He is asking some out of foolish. A child may ask, Mama, can you give me the knife? I want to play. And a son may ask, can you give me the car? I want to drive. You know, he is because of ignorance and because of less intelligence, one may ask such. But then the benedictor or the giver, he is full conscious of what would be the problem if I give this. So he may give you a toy knife or he may give you a toy car or something, right? And then he will give in such a way, when you want to receive, you are not interested anymore. So here we see, so the Maruts were born, such spiritual strength, 49 Maruts were born. They were equal to demigods because of the mercy. When Diti woke up, she saw there were 49 plus Indra. She was surprised. She thought, how did that happen? I wanted only one son. And they are brilliant as fire and this were friendship with Indra. So she was very pleased actually. And then see, Diti asking to Indra, my dear son, I added to this difficult vow just to get a son to kill you 12 Adityas. There were 12 Adityas. So Diti is having an open conversation to Indra. So if you see, equal vision or equanimity, this theme is there in Bhagavad Gita. Samadarshina, Pandita Samadarshina, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Brahmana Gavi Astina. What is it? Brahmana? Sunichayava Supakachayava, Pandita Samadarshina, right? One has to see the enemy. But before that, you know, it is, I think it's 12th chapter or... I don't know which. That one has to see the stone, the pebble, and the gold equal. Which chapter is it? The 12th chapter, right? One has to see the stone and the gold equal. Then the next verse, they say one has to see the friend and enemy equal. One may say, you know, seeing in one sense, seeing the stone and gold equal is okay. Because they don't have consciousness. Right? But then seeing the enemy and friend equal, that takes a bit of advancement actually. Because they have consciousness, you have consciousness. And to see them equal, it's a higher stage of yoga actually. Equanimity, seeing attachment, not attached, you know, honor, dishonor, it takes a bit of detach, I would say, when sense control, not agitated. Like you can see in the starting of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna had this quality of seeing the Pandavas and the Kauravas equal. Why is that? Because he had full control over the senses and mind. And when one is in full control of senses and mind, then he is ready to get knowledge and he is eligible for liberation. So we have to come to that stage, or we have to, you know, see that this person is not my enemy and this person is not my friend. Then one is think beyond the bodily conception. So here, Diti was saying to Indra, actually, I was planned to kill all of you. Now, I prayed for only once and now I see that 49. How has this happened? My dear son Indra, if you know, please tell me the truth. Do not try to speak lies. So this is another, can be a reflection. Because one of the vow of Diti, of Kashyapa, was telling is, you should not speak lie. You should practice. So she has practiced or cultivated the good quality of to be honest, to be pure, to speak only the truth for 1 year. And she has told everything to the enemy. You know, the truth means one should be bold enough to tell even the enemy the truth. The austerity of the speech, truthful, one has to be beneficial, and at the same time one has to be pleasing, and has to be backed up by the shastras. So this is the austerity of the speech, that one is able to reveal one's mind to even the enemy. So then Indra is he's requesting, tell me the truth. Then Indra said, Indra saw that this person is not anymore thinking, you know, say for example, if you are planning to kill a person and the person is there next to you and you have not one, you have 49 sons. In a materialistic point of view, what would be your consciousness? You would say, here is a person, come on boys, do the job, finish it, let's go. Right? But then she was happy to see that they are there and Indra is there. And then she's saying, Indra, I was initially planning to kill, but you know, these people are there. How did it happen? Can you tell me what happened? So she was very open. So because she didn't have that thought that this person is an enemy. She thought that this everyone is equal. There's the sons and Indra, my dear son Indra, you know. Right? Before Indra, even Indra was her son, you know, because Diti was her aunt, in a, if you see from a relationship point of view. But now she's saying, my dear son Indra, because she identified everyone is equal, you know, in that sense. Then Indra is saying, my dear mother, because I was grossly blinded by selfish interest, I lost sight of religion. Because Indra also tricked. So here, you know, everyone is tricking each other. Diti tricked Kashyapa, Kashyapa tricked Diti, and Indra tricked Diti. Indra covered himself as an obedient servant and serving Diti with the ulterior motive to find fault so that he can. So he want to, self-preservation is, you know, I want to reserve, I want to preserve my seat, I want to prevention better than cure, something, right? In that sense. Because he was so attached to this position, because his life was death. If she followed the vow properly, then his head is gone. So he was full of anxiety, actually. It is said that Diti, 1 year, she followed the vow, even though she may not followed the vow properly, but because she is performing devotional service, the improper vow or improper act become proper. The ritualistic ceremony is that there is always going to be some discrepancy if you do ritualistic ceremony. Either the ingredients is not proper, or the performer of the ritualistic ceremony is not proper, or the atmosphere, the brahmana, so something or somewhere something is going to go wrong. You can 100% right. But then, because it's done, it's engaged in the devotional service. It's engaged in the devotional service, even the improper things become proper. Like us, you know, who is qualified to serve Krishna? Right? Who qualified to cook, serve, do all the service? Are we qualified? Do we have that, you know, audacity to say that I have all qualified to serve Krishna directly? No. But because we are going through parampara, we are going through that disciplic succession, we are going through our guru and the disciplic succession, panchatattva, we chant panchatattva mantra before chanting Hare Krishna mantra, right? Why? Because there are going to be some offense, but because we are engaging with a proper attitude and sincerity of heart, so that's why Indra couldn't find any fault with Diti. Because then he was so anxious, he was praying to the Lord, oh my God, then by the will of the Lord, is the mercy of the Lord, because the Lord knows everything, what is going to happen now, and you know, all the Trikala Gyan. So he made some arrangement and Diti didn't follow. And so he said, I want to find fault, some fault in you. When I found such a fault, I enter your womb and cut the embryo into pieces. So Indra finding fault with Diti. So I was thinking to let us discuss on this point for the rest of the class. Finding fault in others. Why do we find fault in others? Swatipati? We think we are good. Yeah, then? Critical. Envy. Compare. Good. Finding fault. You know, I was putting some points. Why we find? The first is, suppose finding fault is actually happiness in ignorance. Happiness in ignorance. Because, you know, there's some kind of joy to find fault in others. It's like exactly like a housefly trying to get some juice out of abominable substance. So if you see, happiness in ignorance is miserable in the start and the end. So happiness is miserable. So it's like contradiction. Suppose someone is taking intoxicant, which is a poison, but they think they will be happy. But it's damaging them. So it's like kind of a pleasure which they derive, not knowing that it's going to cause miseries for oneself and others. And whoever here also will cause the same problem. It's contagious actually. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was one person whose life and soul was find fault, Ramachandra Puri. He used to go around and find fault with others, and he gets some kind of joy out of it. They found fault with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ants were there. Oh, what kind of sannyasi. He was a contemporary. He was like, Ishwarapuri. So he was finding fault with his guru also. He was finding fault with everyone. So if you see, finding fault, there is some kind of hobby, you can say also. It's a disease. It's kind of happiness in ignorance. Then there is other also, finding fault. Sometimes we want to find fault so that we can take revenge. Tick for tat. You did that to me like long time back, and I've been watching you. I thought you are finding fault, or you are telling me. I know I can give you the list of fault. Sometimes we note down all those fault they do little by little. And we keep a record of it, like a data entry. And when opportune moment come, we just open the gateway. And then we give point after point. This day, this event, that day, this you did wrong, that you did wrong. This eventually did this. So this is like, we can say, out of envy. Or you want to bring that person down. Some or other you want to find fault so that you can bring that person down. Here in classic Indra, insecurity of losing one position, one pratishta, one fame, one recognition in the community. So he was always, finding who is my competitor. I want to find fault in him. So when I can find fault in him, then I can be on top. So we find fault to pull person down actually. We want to find fault with everyone and everything. Sometime when a full moon is there, is the most beautiful creation in this world. But still, some may see black spot. If someone can find fault in the moon, then is there anything left not to find fault? We have to be careful, because this fault finding can expand from individual to society, community, nation, international level. We can find fault in organization. We can find fault in a group. So this habit, this consciousness is expansive in nature. That way, if we can find fault in individual, we can find in fault in group of people, and then in a bigger organization. But finding fault is also a service. Sometimes if you are a manager or if you are managing, you have to find fault, not to put that person down, but that's your service as a character. It's a thankless job actually. Why? Because there has to be a certain standard in service to Krishna. There has to be certain rules and regulation to be followed. And if don't follow, and if you have to correct that person. Not in the mood of, you know, oh, I am greater than the person, I am better than that person. No, not in that mood, but genuine help to find and tell, okay, Prabhu, you have to do, okay, Mataji, this is not the way you have to do it. This is wrong. You did it what you did. This is how it should be done. This is a proper way that one is correcting in the, is a service. Say constructive criticism or a feedback, or, you know, find something which is not appropriate. So these are many, you know, there are many also. This I thought maybe I should find fault. But let us see from the receiving end. If someone finding fault in you, okay, you find fault, and then someone find fault in you, then what are the, how do you respond? First is, like, you know, if for example, if a person in goodness, if someone find fault in him, he will be endeavored to learn the correct way. Okay, Prabhu, can you tell me how to do it? Sorry, I did wrong. Fine, thank you very much for correcting. Let me learn from you. Can you tell me how to be done this thing? You know, I don't know. This is in goodness. But if a person in passion, he will be defensive in mentality. Defensive in mentality means that he will ask, oh, no, what I did was correct only. What I did was correct. So that ego will not give you that gap where you can take that humble position. It will say, no, what I did was correct. This is what I thought, this is what I was supposed to do. Sorry for that, this is what I was told. Then in ignorance, you will not learn, or you will not, you know, you will repeat, you will ignore that. If someone finds, wow, what he knows, he doesn't know anything, I know, and then you will repeat the same mistake. So this passion, or someone finding fault, as you said, first thing is, like a child, we also can, react. Why, you know, that person also did the same thing, but why only you picking me? Why only me? There are so many people doing that. Why only you are telling me to do correct? Why don't you tell everyone? So we see that, you know, why you are picking me only. You did, like, the otherwise we say like this, you know, we say like a karmic reaction. We say, oh, you did that to me, so I am doing to you. If someone correct you, we may say also, as if you are too good, you are also having the same. I know you did this. So we find this different reaction. And also, sometimes, you know, they play the game of artificial humbleness. Sometimes you find fault and they say, oh, sorry, Prabhu, sorry for the offense. No, it's not an offense. Or, you know, it makes you feel guilty that why you tell that person. So these are some of the receiving end, that when we receive fault, how we react. And then why we find fault. So these are, we saw the list of how do we find fault and how do we react. What is the solution? Let us see the solution for fault finding. So first is, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, the Acharya say, this finding fault, you should employ that in you, not in others. Because if we can find fault within us, then we can rectify it. It's like, it is also a reflection of one's own consciousness. You see what you have within you. If you see a prominent anartha in someone, that means it shows that you have a lot amount of that anartha within you. So what you have, that only you can see in others. So it's like, you know, a strainer, you know, strainer which has a lot of holes. He's telling to the needle and laughing at, oh, needle, you have a hole. But the strainer is made full of holes, actually. But then it's laughing at the needle, oh, needle, what kind of needle? You have a hole in you. So similarly, a person, we have to understand, if that anartha we can see in others, that shows that we have lot of that in our heart. So we should able to rectify that.
And unless we are in that position to correct someone, it is better to correct ourselves and work on ourselves. And even if you want to correct someone, it has to be presented in a very beneficial, pleasing way. That is also there. We cannot snap just because we have power. Power corrupts, right? So if you are in a position where you can correct people, it is art actually, it is a challenge to speak to devotees and make them comfortable that they are wrong, at the same time get the service done, at the same time they understand and they realize. You know, it is actually, we should pray to the Lordship. And also, if someone is correcting, and if we are not ready to listen or correct ourselves, then it is actually a way that Krishna is showing us, is showing the mirror to us, how bad you are. You know, it is the mercy of the Lord actually. But if you don't receive in a proper, then we are losing the opportunity to progress in bhakti. Very simple as that. So it is, and then so then here the answer for that is given in the purport. Prabhupada writing this verse. Yasya asti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarva gune tatra samastag suraha. So not finding fault means we have to appreciate devotees and we have to glorify. See, we are coming from the background of materialistic world. In materialistic civilization, you have been applauded or you've been promoted or rewarded the more you find fault in others. The whole IT world is functioning on this. The more bug you find, you'll be the team leader or you'll be the advanced. The more flaws you find in the system, you'll be like, you know, given awards. And people find, you know, it's a kind of entertaining thing, that finding fault in others and putting them down. They take pleasure out of that because they think this is kind of a cool thing. So we only are trained to see fault. They say cutting edge technology, be independent. Like it's promotion that you have to see that others are bad, you are good. You know. Then comes the level where you try to see bad and you try to see good. And then comes you try to see good. Then comes the level of a pure devotee where he see only good even in full of bad. The scripture says, Kali Yuga is an ocean of false. There is only one good quality, that is chanting Hare Krishna mantra. So even though there is ocean of fault, they can see a pearl, that is Hare Krishna mantra. Take the example of Srila Prabhupada. He can see all are unqualified people for bhakti, but he saw that spark, that this person can be engaged, this person can become a brahmana, this person can do this. So he saw something good even in the skid row of Lower East Manhattan or New York, where people thought these people are gone, they had nothing to do, they don't have anything, they don't have any quality. But then Prabhupada saw the potency that these people can be there. And we see that those people who were dedicated have become the leaders of the society. Or see the good quality in Lord Shiva is also another example. In the pastime of Daksha and Sati, Lord Shiva actually accepted Sati even though Daksha was full of faults. So then you see that this is a quality of a pure Vaishnava actually, to see good even in bad. So Chanakya Pandit also say that if you have to accept gold even from a filthy place, you should accept, I think, girl from a low-born family, something like, you know, many things. So even if someone can able to see that opportunity, we accept. How this quality comes? By cultivation of bhakti. So good quality in Bhagavad Gita, you see, there is a list of good qualities in the 13th chapter, 8 to 12, and then the process of knowledge. And then qualities also mentioned in the 16th chapter, divine and demonic nature. And then the qualities of divine is given. So there's some qualities are given actually. So it is two way actually. That is, you have to cultivate the qualities. Humility, pridelessness, simplicity, cleanliness, all these are given. And the topmost of all is unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Lord. So there is a direct method, there is a gradual method. The scriptures talk about this quite often actually. Even the yoga ladder, there is a gradual process of yoga ladder to the ultimate bhakti yoga. And then there is a direct process by the mercy of the devotee that one comes to bhakti. So the easy and the direct is that one should increase his devotion. If we want to cultivate some good quality, then if we find that we have a lot of anarthas, then the simple process is that one should increase his devotion. So by increasing his devotion means one has to increase his austerity or coming out of the comfort zone. And then that devotion, increasing the devotion, as a byproduct, one will get all the good qualities. All the good qualities. It doesn't then mean that one has to only, okay, I'll do devotion. But at the side by side, one has to cultivate the good qualities. How to cultivate? The whole bhakti, if you see, nectar of instruction or devotion. Bhakti means cultivation of activities which is favorable. There is nonsensical activities, there is neutral activities, and there is a positive engagement. The positive engagement is devotional service. Like nine processes there, hearing, kirtan, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam. Out of that is hearing first. So one has to cultivate the activity where it can engage in the regulative principles of devotional service. That will actually bring about the good qualities in a person. We know that, see, for example, we also chant Hare Krishna, which is chanting of Hare Krishna, which is the most activity for the advancement of devotional service. At the same time, we follow four regulative principles. It's not that just one follows, because if you slacken in following the rules of not doing Nema Graha or, you know, Tat Tat Karma Pravartana, that one has to follow the regulative principle, if you slacken, then there is a danger. Then you will not advance in spiritual life. That you have to follow enthusiastically both what to do and enthusiastically what not to do. It's not that just, oh Prabhu, I like to do certain kirtan in the temple. Yeah, you like to do, okay, do. But at the same time, you know, Prabhu, I'll eat wherever I like, you know, what to do. I'm working outside. Now then you are only interested in certain thing. That means you are not following the rules properly. Then where is advancement? Where is the success? So Rupa Goswami is saying, in order to get success in the devotional service, then you follow the six. Utsaha, Nishya, Dairya, Tat Tat Karma, Pravatana, Sangatyago, Satavriti, Sadbir Bhakti, Prasidati. That in order to get success in devotional service, follow these six and follow the rules and regulation enthusiastically, with patience, with confidence, following the footsteps of the great acharyas, according to the instruction of the spiritual master, then one is success guaranteed. So one has to see the devotion is increasing, then one get the good qualities. At the same time, one is increasing his cultivation of good qualities side by side. And this cultivation of good qualities, sometimes we take, you know, this, we had a Kartik, we had a great month. We take vow. Mostly, we prefer to take gross vow. Gross vow means I'll chant extra round. I'll come Mangalarti, I will read Prabhupada books many hours, I will fast. These are all good, there is nothing, I'm not saying wrong, but think about taking subtle vows. I will be kind to everyone. I will not find fault with someone. I will not find fault with anyone actually. I will be humble. I will try to take a back step. I will be good with everyone, right? I will try to do something that pleases a devotee. Because at the end of the day, this all we have to understand, we have to be a servant. This is the point. We are enthusiastic to get the name. Yes, I want to get initiated. I want to get Das, Devi Dasi. Very nice, you know. But if you understand the essence, it is not just the name conversion. We are not a Christian organization where your name is changed and you do whatever you like to do. But this is something which you have to work on the internal level, on the heart-to-heart connection, that you become a servant. Being a servant is not an easy thing. If you are a servant, imagine when we know that if you are someone is a servant when we are working, we find so much fault with that person. You are not doing this, you are not doing properly, you are doing that, you are doing what you can, what kind of thing, I will not pay you. But still, irrespective of all that fault we find, that person is very humble and said, okay, sorry, please forgive me. I will try to do, you know, please give me another chance, please. If you apply that in our, suppose if you in a workplace, you know, we make a mistake and the boss is like so heavy on you. What we do? We tolerate. We tolerate in such a level that, you know, we cannot show the face, we cannot tell word against that person. We know that we will be sacked. Why? Because tolerating? Because we get the remuneration, we get money, we get something, we get promotion, we get this, we get material things. And we are very much enamored with that immediate effect, immediate result. I want to see that if I tolerate immediately. But when it comes to bhakti, we think, oh, this is all, you know, I want to be in level that way that no one should find anything, no one should tell me what I should do. I'll be like floating like a butterfly. It doesn't happen like that. And when we go away from that, when we retract ourselves from that kind of, you know, where we don't even want to touch us, we make a wall around us, then we will find association with someone else. If you are not associating with devotees, if you are not tolerating, if you are not cultivating the good qualities, it's a matter of time that we will seek association somewhere else where we are in our own pride kingdom. Materialistic friends are all about like that. They will praise you, they will put you in a high pedestal because you're going to supply something. You're going to make favor to them. And we want to please that. That's what pleasing to our ego. We want that because we want to be in that, you know, king's seat where everyone is praising, everyone glorifying, everyone is telling, you know, all good and then backbiting and telling everything bad about you. We want that. So then we will seek association there. It's a matter of time that we shift our association from devotees. We say, oh, these devotees are bad actually. You will find fault in one or two. All these devotees are same only. They don't know. They're just, you know, they speak, they do. They are very bad. These people don't know. So what it means? It means you are just losing the mercy of Krishna. You are just going away from devotee association. That's the most dangerous, unfortunate situation a soul can have actually. Just going away from association of devotees. We see that, you know, many people come and then after some time they are slack and they are gone. Because they didn't able to work on them. They couldn't able to digest if someone tells something. Take it as a mercy of Krishna, that Krishna is showing the mirror before you, see what you have. And it happens, you know, every devotee, I can write and tell you, it happens in every devotee life. You know, we feel that we are very high, in spiritual life, we think, I am better, I am then. And then what happened? Immediately Krishna show you the anartha. Immediately Krishna show. Krishna doesn't like pride. Krishna doesn't like this kind of puffed up. Krishna shows us and then we become humble. It becomes like, you know, like a wave. How many times Krishna has to do this? So we have to work. So this fault-finding tendency, we have to work on it. We have to see that. We have to see good. We have to see appreciative. We have to appreciate the devotees. We have to see good in them. They are surrendering their lives to Krishna. They could have done anything. We are very small in number. We are not a big in number. How many people are there, devotees, in this whole population? 1 million people or something out of 8 billion, you know, can you believe it? It's like 0.00001 or 2% of devotees. And why do we find fault with them? When they have attraction to Krishna. You know, everyone has some kind of attraction towards Krishna. And they are surrendering their life and they are serving Krishna and they are serving all the devotees. And it's a very rare thing that we come across devotees actually. It is a very rare thing that we come across the association of devotees. That in you know, I'll finish this at one point. That Prabhupada explains the rarity of devotional service in Nectar of Instruction. And then he was telling that you know, Jiva, very rare that he come in contact with devotees, that Brahmanda Brahminte Kona Bhai, you know, Jeev Bhakti Lata Prich, Krishna Kuru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Peach. Yeah? Can you imagine? A Jiva is going from 14 planetary system up and down like this, wandering. By the mercy of Guru, by the mercy of Krishna, he get the bhakti seed. It's so rare, actually, that one in come in contact with devotee, one in coming in contact with the shelter of a spiritual master, one is engaging in the service of Krishna. These are all like a very, very rare treasure. One has to cherish, one has to relish, one has to protect, one has to keep. These are not like by chance. Nothing happened by chance. We preach that. We preach this creation not by chance. This not by chance. Do you think that you come in contact with devotees also by chance? No, these are all arrangement. These are all from a previous experience of engagement in the devotional service that you got attraction towards Krishna, that you engage in the sadhana bhakti. And then, even though you know it is so rare, that is so... Then Prabhupada immediately write, we have ISKCON to provide this opportunity to all. You know, and then when anyone come to ISKCON, we give this. This is the purpose of ISKCON, Prabhupada writes. So it seems like, you know, even though Prabhupada explaining such a rare commodity, and then he puts that in a way that even though it's rare, it is available in ISKCON. It's same exactly in the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the same Goswamis all. Because even though the Krishna Prem is so rare, but it's easily distributed by Mahaprabhu. That which is rare is easily available in Kali Yuga. Can you see the contradictory level? We talk about so rare, but it's because it's easily available. We think, oh, this is for granted. Oh, I'll take it maybe next time, you know. Today, you know, it's okay. This life is okay. It's always going to be there. It's not like that. So I'll just stop here, see if anyone has any question, correction, comments, or anything want to add upon what we discussed today. Yes, Prabhu.
I find this fault finding is a way of life in an organization, without which I've been a victim to that, and the senior officers or the senior who are there, they appreciate most of the fault finding actually, because they want more faults to know so that, you know, the system can be rectified actually. So as Prabhu has already mentioned very wisely, that it is that it, good things have to be taken, bad things both have to be taken, what is right and what is wrong actually. But sometimes it becomes a very painful thing for another person to accept all the faults. And thereby there is no solution thereby, because even the good work which is being done, he is being led on by the fault finding actually, you know. Now that system, it cannot be arrested totally. Fault finding has to be there. In a spiritual world, we can accept it. But when it comes to material world, it is all in all, and you know, it has to be there for the sake of survival or existence actually. That's my, this one actually.
Yeah, we have to act in what, that's why they pay you. To act in, but that is not that we carry to the spiritual realm. So we have to see that we should not carry that housefly mentality. Rather, we have to cultivate the bee-like mentality, where it only sucks the nectar from each flower. So similarly, we have to train, as I said, we have to cultivate this habit of seeing good in others. If you find fault, then you take a pause think in your mind what and all good, at least 3-4 quality that person has good. Before you communicate, if you have the authority to correct, right? It's not just, you know, you find your job is going fine, fault in other words, your life will be miserable. Yeah, it is painful. And receiving also, see, this is the thing. If someone insults you, we should tolerate. That is tolerance. But insulting a Vaishnava or a Supreme Lord, we should not tolerate. So anything for us, if someone is finding fault in you, we should be like, oh, thank you. Thank you for... See, this is what, you know, when initially a devotee comes, he is so bubbly that anyone tells, now you will take it in a right spirit. Oh, thank you, Prabhu. I didn't know. Sorry, Prabhu. I will do it. You know, thank you very much. But then as the time goes, we actually create this false imagination of certain kind of recognition and position in the community. And we think we are senior. And if someone new tells us, or, you know, old or equal, whoever tells us, we don't want to take it. Because I know, I've been here for a long time. You telling me? So they don't see what is the benefit of the for the service of Krishna or for the organization. They take it as, you know, you are the doer. Actually, anything they are correcting, anything they are telling, so that the service can be done in a better way. Right? So that's where one has to practice being humble and it happens, you know. Krishna doesn't like pride devotees. Actually, Krishna makes sure that, you know, one is being humble. If not, he will be humbled. So that is a test, actually. That is a test that one, because this anartha has to be removed. If one has to come to the fixed stage of devotional service, these anarthas has to be removed. We have to remove this anartha. Otherwise, we cannot be fixed in devotional service. Yeah. Yes?
Hare Krishna Prabhupada, thank you for the nice class. We see blind attachment to children leads to doing improper things, like we see in the case of Diti. And then again, we see in Mahabharata that Gandhari, she, for the protection of Duryodhan, she goes to Vyasadeva and asks for a boon. So then why did Vyasadeva agree, knowing that it's for Duryodhan?
The boon?
Even though he's like the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
I don't know why she asked the boon.
I've
not read Mahabharata.
For the protection of Duryodhan in the war.
For the protection of Duryodhan in the war. Yeah, then she tells that you have to come naked or something like that. I have to see something like that, right? Then he doesn't listen. Like, huh? I don't know. Probably, maybe I can get back to you. Why she asked the boon? She asked the boon to protect the son. But you're asking why that Vyasadeva gave.
Why did Vyasadeva grant her the boon, knowing as he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Why did he give?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe past time. You have to see, you know, because the Lord is, everyone as independent. So the Lord is not restricting everyone that you should come to me in a certain way. Right? Everyone has an independent choice and desire. And unless until one reveals to the Lord, the Lord wait patiently. So, same with Gandhari, that if she would have served, if she would have done something to get the boon, he might have asked, they would have told, okay, I will give. But I don't know the story, so I cannot add much to it. If anyone knows anything, anyone know Mahabharata? Sorry, being ignorant, but I am not very, I didn't read Mahabharata. Yeah. But this is a principle. Principle is that anyone can approach the Lord with any motive. And they can perform bhakti in that motive. And they can reveal also. But the Lord, actually being merciful, He will give what is exactly need for our spiritual growth. So,
thank you.
Hare Krishna. Yeah.
So, Chala. In the same context, approaching the Lord with so much of motivation, you know, with some desires, you said Mishra, prayers, to the journey of pure service, asking for the, you know, love of Godhead with unmotivation. And we perform Navada Bhakti with gradually going up in the devotional service. So what is that stage, or what is that criteria where we can, you know, feel the symptom of that unmotivation devotional service?
See, the Lord actually, if you see, He's saying 931, Apichay Duracharu. Even if someone is performing abominable activities, he should be claimed as a saint or a devotee, because he is fixed in determination in the path of bhakti. So it's like someone is taking bath who is full of dirt and is staying under the shower. People may laugh, oh, see that boy, how bad, how dirty he is. But he is under the shower. It's just a matter of time that all the dirt will go away. So Prabhupada also gave the example of that, you know, kaccha mango and the ripened mango. The kaccha mango, one may say, this is kaccha, this is, you know, what kind of mango. But as long as that mango is in the tree, it has the potency that it becomes sweet. So we have to, so it's like the, one may not taste the sweetness of the devotional service because of the ignorance or the bitterness, bile, you know. But then when continuously, every day, it is said, anudina, adharat, that is regularly, every day, when performing devotional service, then eventually one will get the taste. Now, answer to your question, that how do we go to that stage? First is, we have to see that we can able to fix our mind on Krishna.
Yeah.
Always fix our mind on Krishna. Yeah? Then we should be able to take the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and follow the instruction and perform regulative devotional service under the guidance of a spiritual master. This we have to do first.
Yes.
Bhajana Kriya, then Anatta Nivati, then able to fix our mind on Krishna and never forget Krishna. This is our immediate goal which we have to do.
Yes.
Then by doing that, then you will get develop a genuine longing to serve Krishna in a particular way. Then you move to the next stage. So first we have to see that our mind able to be, can we able to chant attentively? Can we able to read attentively? Can we able to listen attentively? Can we able to follow four regulative principles perfectly? I mean, not perfectly, to that level where we can able to chant nicely, right? So these are the immediate we can do, because that stage what they are talking, they are given the detail, but to get to that, like if you are going to go to that first floor, first you have to take step in the first step. Right? Then second step, third, fourth, then by, if you are progressing continuously, eventually you will go there. Right? So in order to go there, you have to see first what is my first step. Then you step there, like that. So there are 64 principles given by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion. The first 10 is primary you have to do, and that first 10, out of that first 10, first 5 talk about spiritual master. First 3 is very important, taking shelter of bona fide spiritual master, and then serving him and, you know, following the instruction, listening from him. So these are very important. So one has to work on that. Yeah. So then one, by instruction of spiritual master, one mind is fixed on devotional service. So then one is able to get the sadhana bhakti, then go to the love of Godhead and everything. It is a science. This is what the Nectar of Devotion, what is it? Science of Krishna consciousness, right? It's a science. So it is amazing, actually. If you ask someone, you know, do you love someone? They say, yeah, I love. Can you explain that love? And they say, you know, it's very difficult to explain it. It's a love, you know, it's a kind of feeling, you know. Have you experienced that? Someone, I don't know. If you ask someone, you know, do you love? Yeah, I love. Can you? Oh, it's, you have to experience, man, like, you know. Imagine if someone is loving God, which is the both the phenomenon, the process and the goal is unknown. right? And they're writing a book on that. And that love is not just a puddle, it's an ocean. It's called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Right? Ocean of the nectar of the transcendental devotional service, of the mellow, which is the love to God. And he is explaining that ocean, that love, in a category, in a very step-by-step manner. Can you believe that? And then he is telling, if you follow this step, you will also experience that love. How good is that? Can you do that? Like if you're loving someone, and then you have to tell that person how you develop that love step by step, and that person following that step by step, he also eventually love that person. So these are our acharyas. They are not ordinary people. They have given that literature which is full of potency. Right? Just reading that, we can... They leave the boat for us, you know, in Bhagavatam said. So these are all... We are not talking something, you know, mundane or something. This is a high level topic of love of Godhead. And it's given in a very systematic, in a very progressive, in a very black and white manner. Do this, don't do this. But people think, oh, why you have to tell me what I have to do? I love Krishna, he's there, I have love. Spontaneity come when we follow this. People try to jump directly. So yeah, read the books of Goswamis and we'll get success. Okay, Hare Krishna. We'll stop here.
Thank you.
It's been very late. Andhra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Gaur Premanande.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guram Vaishna Vangsha Shri Rupam Chakrajatam sahagana rasna khantam tvam sajivam. Shaktaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanna devam. Sri Radha krishna padam sadana lalita sri vishakhanitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaurabhakta Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama